When you're watching a movie play out, there's certain scenes that change the trajectory of the film. There's individual parts that can never be forgotten and will be remixed on social media, whether it's drama or comedic. And when people retell the story and get to the good part, they say things like, now mind you. People love that phrase when they about to get to now mind you. People love saying that when they about to get to the hook.
Right, something serious.
Now, The Color Purple, it's a musical. People are loving it.
Freddie.
We talked about reboots on a previous episode.
Correct.
Now, the thing that got me is that they said, Sierra popped up on the screen.
Yes.
We all know Sierra. She's, you know, she's
talented actress.
Talented dancer. Yeah,
everything. Entertainers for about 20 years.
Checks
now.
Off a lot of boxes.
Correct.
But they were just wondering how that came about.
Freddie, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for another episode.
Yes.
I feel like I've definitely seen the original The Color Purple, and I've seen a good amount of this one. And yes, there was a audible like gasp in the theater when Sierra showed up on the screen, because while she is a talented entertainer, we have not seen her acting chops. Yeah. And to see her in this position randomly was very entertaining. And it was a nice surprise for us in the audience.
Yeah, but it just goes to show, however you get your name.
Come on.
The opportunities are endless.
Freddie, with name recognition comes opportunity, because you can't tell me that you would suspect Sierra to be a part of this project, but somebody called and said, you want a role?
And you know how many people go out for the same role?
Tons of them. Freddie, you are always competing with everyone at all times. Yes. Her name was bigger. Her brand was bigger. And when she showed up on the screen, everybody knew who she was.
Time and time again, they proved to us and they let us know, build your name first.
Yes, before. It doesn't necessarily matter how talented you are.
They keep telling us that.
If you have a following, we got work for you.
We got work for you. Ready? Real talk. Now, Sierra's prayer.
Yes.
That's what the ladies say. That's what the ladies say. Uh-huh.
It is a well-known Sierra.
That's what they say.
Because yes. Sierra Wilson is married to the quarterback of once was the Seattle Seahawks, now is the Denver Broncos. His brother, Russell Wilson, has gotten NFL championships.
Yeah.
And he has, as of 2 years, signed a $250 million contract.
Yeah.
And a lot of women across the country were wondering who and what she said, who she prayed to and what she said to get a man like Russell Wilson to come and love her and marry her.
Now, Russell Wilson, we know he's a good guy in the light, but this, a lot of people took shock to this.
Right.
A lot of people took shock to him being cut from the Broncos.
As of recent, due to unforeseen circumstances, he is no longer the starting quarterback of the Broncos. It may or may not be because of his play, but right now, they want some of that money back, and he is no longer the starter.
Now, the money that he left with, how much was that, and how does that work with these?
As it's currently constructed, the reason why they wanted him to step down was there was $37 million in injury guarantees, which is going to come his way because he wasn't injured.
Yeah.
And that was going to be a substantial cap hit, and the Broncos organization wanted to renegotiate and get that money up off of him.
Yeah.
And they told him that we're going to give you a couple weeks to come back in this office and renegotiate the contract that we gave to you in order to get you here. He was, and the kids love this one. He was standing on business.
They love that.
Oh my, it's everywhere. Shout out Drewski. Drewski. That guy's making cultural impacts.
Definitely.
He said, no, I'm not willing to do that. So they are going to do what they have to. And it looks like they're going to cut him from the team at the end of the year to get that money back off the books, because they don't want to pay him that.
But he's still a potential contender for other teams.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
And the pill that the Broncos are going to have to swallow is a $142 million cap hit, because that is how much his contract is guaranteed for. So when they cut him, they're still going to have to pay him all that money for all those years. So either way, like Sierra was saying in her prayer, she's good. That they're going to get all that money, whether he plays or not.
Yeah.
They're going to get that money.
And I have a follow-up question with that. Mm-hmm. As an athlete, if you get cut, is that a period of like, damn, should I
even continue? Should I even want to play on another team, or should I just retire and take my money and go put it elsewhere? I think that's always a strong period.
That
right?
is very, that's a very real thing that a lot of NFL players have to deal with. As you know, we have some friends who are in the NFL, and it is the most cutthroat of the big four in our country. The average career length is somewhere between 3 to 4 years. And then you have to remember these gentlemen are being injured. So not only is their career being shortened, but the injuries that they're going to have are life, usually last the rest of their lives. And those injuries are not, they're not cheap. They're very expensive. So the money they made, the contract that they signed to achieve their dreams, they're using that money to keep them afloat because their body is giving them aches and pains in a way that no one wants.
And that's why I respect anybody that gets to that level. It is 5, 6, 7 years because... What? The concussions, anything can happen at any time. And what was that dude that got injured at the beginning of the year last year? Remember? He went viral and they had to bring him back. I don't know
DeMar
if you're
Hamlin.
Yeah, there you go.
DeMar Hamlin is a safety, strong safety for the Buffalo Bills at the end of last year. He got a concussion and he like almost, we almost lost him and it was on the field. It was this huge to do. And yeah, he came back this year.
Yeah.
They definitely... How do I say this? They chopped up his contract because, you know, we don't want to guarantee if you're not going to be out there. But
is this salary?
Right. But that is absolutely one of the scariest parts about professional sports. Nothing in that thing is guaranteed.
Now, another athlete that's been having a rough go with injuries, but I think he said recently he's going to make a comeback, but people are still doubting him. Yeah. I.E. Rep.
Come on.
Lonzo Ball, what's going on with this guy's injury?
Lonzo, IE representative, he's one of the best guards that was in his draft. He was a former Laker, touted as like the king of the city. He was traded to Chicago. And the year one, he looked amazing. He is a defensive specialist. He has a very high IQ. Uh-huh. And what was coming along was what he needed the most, which was his three-point jumper was coming along great.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, and they're saying it literally may have something to do with the shoes that his father was putting him in when he was young. Uh-huh. His right knee has been giving him a complete headache and has been shutting down on him. He has not played in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And Lonzo, it has something like a $110 million contract. He is a key part to what the Bills organization was looking to do now and in the future. He's still young.
And the knee is so pivotal.
And the knee is everything.
The knee and the ACL.
The knee, the ACL and the Achilles are probably the three most important parts of the leg. And unfortunately, he has a major injury on his knee, and he has been playing for a while. As of recent, he has been cleared to do some basketball activities. Uh-huh. So there is a lot of optimism, but there is more doubt that is surrounding him because we haven't seen something like this in someone so young before.
Yeah, I mean, we're rooting for him.
What? Of course.
Because we want to see him showcase his talent.
We know how long that dude has wanted to be in the NBA, how hard he's had to work, and then get to the NBA and then not be able to like live out your dreams while your baby brother signed a $250 million contract. It has to be a thing that he is worried about, and we're wishing him all the best because no one loves Lonzo like we do. I.e. Another IE representative.
Definitely, because if my knees hurt, I'm out for the day.
What? Freddie, we get to that point, you know, you wake up and something hurts
your lower
a little
back,
bit, you're shutting the whole thing down.
That lower back, if you sleep wrong,
what?
And your spine is messed
what?
Up, your day is canceled.
Freddie, I'm going back to bed.
Now, as an athlete, you get into these streaks. If you don't have everything going right at the right time, right coach, right team, right setups, you may lose 27 games in a row. But I think they ended that dry spell recently. He said
yes.
They had to. Larry, what's going on with these Detroit Pistons?
Freddie was, he's referencing the Detroit Pistons. Yeah. They are a young franchise filled with just that. Very young players.
Yeah.
Monty Williams is coming over from the Suns organization. A coach who was supposed to be coaching these young guys.
Yeah.
But I think it's a combination of a lot of things. It's a coach coaching a team that is filled with, how do I say this? Experienced rookies who are, how do I say this? They're not, they're players from other teams that aren't getting a lot of burn that have ended up on the Pistons.
Okay.
Combined with a very young team full of rookies.
Okay.
And that recipe does not lead to success because if you aren't,
Coach Lloyd.
Yeah. If you aren't talented enough to beat your opponent, that's one thing. But if you don't have the scheme or the talent, that's when you get into big trouble. So that's why they found themselves on the loser's end of 27 games in a row. And they have taken over the losingest team record.
Losing.
I don't even know how you say this, that the losing is so bad.
But we're going to have to Shazam that.
Right. They are now the losingest team in the Big Four and definitely in NBA history. And that is crazy because we're in 2024 and that's where we are.
If I ever, Lord, if you ever lose that many games for any organization, I don't care if it's a church league, are you still playing? Hey, those church leagues are serious, man. People be fighting at 24 fitness for these games.
Freddie, so there's 82 games. They've lost 27 in a row. That's one, what's 30-something percent of the season already in one chunk they have spent losing.
I hate losing.
Hey, right. And imagine if you hate losing and you're a talented rookie and you've just achieved your NBA dreams and now you're walking into 30 losses
That's
in
like
a row.
Bombing 27 times in a row.
Freddie, and you know how we feel about bombing. Don't even say the B word. You see the way I jumped.
You bombed 27 times in a row.
You'll think about doing something else with your life. Hey.
So you got to get back to winning when it feels good.
Yes.
When all the laughs is moving and you end your set good, it feels good.
Hey, man, I saw you at the show and it was so funny. You know how good that feels? You were the best one. You were the one that I would come out to see you. Hearing that kind of makes you dream, makes your dreams feel worth it.
But if that joke flops and you stare in the audience, you start eyeing everybody down. 2024, please let us have a winning streak. Losing is not good.
Hey.
And it makes you come for people, just like this next guy, Eminem.
Uh-huh.
He's suing for somebody trying to take his shady trademark. Mm. Now, when Eminem was rapping, right now he's more low key, you know. Yeah. Out the loop. That's shady.
Shady.
He put that shady on
there. Aftermath. You remember that tagline.
Put that shade on everything.
What? Him, 50, The Game, Dre.
Yeah.
It was such a signature, but it was Eminem's imprint.
Yeah.
Because during the early 2000s, them boys was on a run the
Cooking.
Warriors wish they could go on. They every single thing that they were coming out with was going number one. This is pre the strength of social media. And those guys were stars. They could tour. They had merch. They had sweaters. They had records. And that imprint was his way of getting the control and his piece of that very lucrative pie that they had going on in the early 2000s.
8 Mile?
Yes.
You better lose yourself in the news.
All of that is under Shady. Eminem is a shrewd businessman.
Yes.
He had good, Tommy Mottola, he had good business partners around him early so that he could put in place the infrastructure necessary to capitalize and catch all that money that his imprint was making.
Yes, so let him get his shady back.
I was going to say.
Or you got a diss track on the way.
I feel like whoever this is that's coming for Shady is going to be in a world of hurt because that guy doesn't play.
But I like Eminem, though. If he stays out the drama in his music, of course he comes for people, but he stays out the drama in his personal.
What?
But somebody's personal life, I feel like, is always in the mix. Mm. They're saying they're quiet now. They're saying that it's calm waters right now. Blueface, bangers when he's focused.
Blueface, baby.
But for the past, 2 years, 2021, 2023, 2022, happy new year. Mm-hmm. Blueface, what is going on? Why is there so much revolving around Blueface?
Since 2017, when he came into the lane, I thought that Blueface was, if you remember when he first got on, people genuinely liked Blueface and he was kind of funny and charming in a way. In a way that made me think, I think people are going to like him because we were having a hard time finding West Coast artists and he was able to punch through with a unique sound that was extremely West Coast and he was likable.
Yeah.
Fast forward to 7 years later and it's no longer about the music. It's much more about his personal dealings. It's about the baby mama drama. I feel like if he could just focus on the music.
He makes bangers. Bangers.
And I have no idea, but I think he got caught up in the social media portion of fame and not the artistry of fame. And now, he's become a tabloid hero. Mm. And
tabloid hero.
Yes, because he's there every day and he's much more known for his antics than his music and his talent.
But I have a question. People get on him a lot, but they stay tapped in.
Freddie.
So is it, what is it? Is it like a reality TV show for people? Because they always complain, can Blueface just stop? But you know, they're still tapped in. So what does that go to show us as an audience what that means?
That the power of attention is just as important as anything else. Uh-huh. Because while he's not making any music, he's still on the lips.
Yeah.
He's still on the shade room. He's still
punching
on
punching people.
Right. He's still on Twitter going viral. He still has the ability to conjure attention.
Uh-huh.
And he is making it up from dust, and that is a skill that in this economy that everyone wants your attention, he has mastered.
I was just about to say, like,
he really has.
Mastering attention is such a powerful tool. Mm-hmm. Because even if he doesn't want to do music anymore, he can go into reality TV, create a show on his own.
Freddie,
he could do a Flav type of show.
Come on, Freddie. I was going to say, you see it right now. Yeah. And he has kids with these ones, with these little, with these women.
Yeah.
There's YouTube, and there's obviously their story of those kids growing up.
Yeah.
They have built in an entertainment factory, and he's going to be around for a long time.
Entertainment factory. Mm-hmm. He's definitely going to be around making hits when he gets back to it, back into the mix. Mm-hmm. But something has changed. We're going to switch gears. Yeah. I read recently about one of our favorites, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Something in New York, they said that they're trying to open up a bill for you to eat Chick-fil-A on Sunday. I think Lloyd caught me there one time. That was early too. He said, Freddie, is that you?
I was you.
I said, yeah, that's me.
We both love us.
We love Chick-fil-A, bro.
I can't believe that New York is trying to demand this. If you're not familiar with Chick-fil-A, it's a very popular fast food chain that never opens on Sundays due to religious reasons. Mm-hmm. But New York and its ravenous crowd want it so bad. It is a metropolitan area.
They want it so bad that they're begging for it.
They are literally thinking it is, they're trying to convince Chick-fil-A to say, look, it is such a missed opportunity because we have so many flights, we have so many people, we have so much going on Sundays that if you guys were to open one, we could capitalize on this bad boy 24 hours a day. So it is a question of value.
Uh-huh.
And the question is going to be up to Chick-fil-A.
Me and Lloyd love us some Chick-fil-A.
I love me some Chick-fil-A.
Catch us on Sunday.
Come on. If they are given the opportunity, the question is, what's more important for them? The almighty dollar or their religious, their religious grounding? Because now they have the opportunity. It's up to them. We're going to see what we're going to find out what they value with this bill.
One thing Chick-fil-A values is manners, because every time I go, they always make me feel good. I could just be going for some fries, say, my pleasure, my pleasure, my pleasure.
Freddie, you go there, right? You're having the worst day ever. You get that number one. You get your favorite kind of sauce.
40 different sauces.
Come on. She's talking to you like you're a king. Hey, sir, how was your day? You look incredible. Oh, man. It just puts you in a place.
Make you feel good.
To feel fantastic.
Yeah.
And then when you're already feeling good, then you get the meal. You're like, damn.
Yeah.
They built it into the bread, and I commend them.
You dip it into that sauce.
Come on, man. You get your Polynesian, you get your whatever one speaks to you. And there's so many.
That sauce be hit.
Come on, man. I'm not even a sauce guy. I go to Chick-fil-A and I grab extra sauce. Because Chick-fil-A sauce makes other fast food better.
Chick-fil-A sauce.
Don't let us get started on how much we like Chick-fil-A. We'll be here all night.
Can you buy the sauce separately on Amazon?
Right. In bottles, in tubes.
In tubes.
I found some at the grocery store. I don't want to.
Don't share the secret.
Exactly.
You would find the sauce.
Come on. I'm always looking.
I said, is that Lloyd at the drive-thru?
Have you tried?
It was like 8 a.m.
Have you tried Polynesian sauce on a burger from Burger King or McDonald's? You'll flip your wig.
Now, McDonald's, they had a bag ready for it. They don't even say hi to you.
What? They treat you right. Right. And they make you use the app. McDonald's is so expensive that you can't even order if you're not even using off the app. Don't let me get started on McDonald's. I'm coming for you.
I'll be going to the drive-thru. My bag already be ready. Can I order?
Right. They already know what you want. And if you don't have that code, you're going to be spending $20. McDonald's is not playing.
The difference is a customer service.
Between McDonald's and Chick-fil-A should be studied.
Now, one food legend that has good customer service, that's Guy Fieri.
Wow.
If you're a chef or you're trying to have restaurants on you, you're going to follow this guy. He said he's not leaving his fortune to his kids unless they get 2 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's not saying he's not going to leave the money.
Right.
He's just saying the stipulations.
Yes. Guy Fieri is a noted...
Ooh, I like that pronunciation.
Excuse me. What is he? He's a celebrity food chef. He's a food... damn, like a guru. Connoisseur. Yeah. He does a lot of facets with the food. He's been on your TV show for 1,000 episodes of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. He's the blonde gentleman who was going into kitchens all over the country and going, whammo, this is Flavor Town. That gentleman is worth upwards of $200 million due to the licensing of that show. He does appearance fees. And he does like local things for a lot of restaurants. He is a business economy onto himself. Recently, as his kids are getting older, people are asking him, you know, how you go about allocating and making sure that you're raising upstanding gentlemen, because you have been so successful, it'll bleed into your kids, right?
Yeah.
And he said something that I found to be very interesting. And at first, I didn't like it, right? Because the first thing he said was, they're going to have to come get it from me, which made me think of like a Game of Thrones scenario. Yeah. After that, I heard that he got advice from Shaq, who says that, who was also another very wealthy. You guys know Shaq. I don't have to give Shaq's breakdown. Upwards of 500. He's probably somewhere between like 500 and $2 billion. Dollars. He's somewhere over there. And he has three or four, maybe seven kids. But he said that if those kids want money, right, his money, they need to get him 2 degrees. Their college degree, that's one.
For Africans, that's nothing.
Right. And I was going to say, as African, you know, that's your high school degree. Now we won't leave you alone to get the college
degree. We would have got that money.
Correct. But if you're willing to go get your master's, that will open up a different level and caveat of money, because it will tell me as your father that, one, you're very serious about your life, but two, you will do smart things with the money because you are an MBA student. You're not going to be buying Porsches and sitting in an apartment all day. Yeah. Just probably the only thing that they really are concerned with, because if you have that much money, Freddie, what would you be doing with your life? If your dad had $500 million, what do you think, where would your lust for life come from when you know that you're already going
to
be spoiled?
You already have the access to everything. So it's not like you're, you know, African parent, that's a standard.
Come on.
College. Money or not.
Yeah, money
or not. Get a degree.
Right, you're getting that degree because
we're going to pull your ear into the class.
You won't embarrass me. I won't be the one guy who doesn't have kids who didn't graduate college. That whole thing.
Facts.
But I agreed with it after the Shaq review. If you get you a master's, you should get as much money as you want. College is one thing, and it tells me that you're serious about your life and that you need some kind of pedigree. Mm-hmm. The second degree tells me when you get the money, you're not going to do stupid things with it. I agreed with it wholeheartedly. Yeah. And I pray to do that for my kids someday because I agree with that. And I do want them to get educated. That's the only way you can motivate people. Mm-hmm. You have to motivate them with money.
Yeah.
Freddie, you have to have money.
That money.
What?
And that sent social media into a frenzy, like this next cup, the Stanley cup craze that caught my attention on TikTok. I saw people falling to their knees to get this cup.
Freddie?
It's like same energy as the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
It is the Popeye's chicken sandwich for middle-aged moms in the country. Now, when he says the Stanley Cup, we're not talking about the NHL championship prize that is won at the end of the NHL season.
Yeah.
He is talking about the Stanley Cup. It is the drink holding cup that has become popularized. I'm not even sure how. Yeah. It is partnered with Starbucks, and it is supposed to make and keep your drinks cold no matter what, and the ladies,
so it has features.
Yes, the ladies need it for some kind of a style icon establishment. It is a, it is the how do I say this? It is the product to have.
It's still new.
It is the product of the season.
Yeah.
And to see people crashing out behind this, going into Walmarts and Targets at midnight just to get this cup because it is the cool thing to have has been ridiculous to see.
Social media makes everything extra.
Everything, because everyone is able to commodify and record the trends that are happening.
Yeah.
And this is the biggest one heading into 2024. If you don't have a Stanley Cup craze and you don't know what that is, I'd be surprised. The ladies have to have their Stanley Cup.
It could be anything. It could be Band-Aids.
Correct.
And we're running there.
And they were running there. Freddie, they're elbowing each other. They're buying out the cups in mass.
So we need to relax.
Right. So the employees have to call the cops to make sure that and monitor the inventory with police officers, police presence inside the stores so the moms don't end up beating each other up for these Stanley Cups.
For these cups. Now, as we land this plane, Ja Rule.
baby.
Told us. Lawrence already left. He told us that he's signing an $100 million deal. Mm-hmm. Now people got on his head about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Can he announce in peace?
Right.
And then he followed it up. He said he's building a school in Lloyd's
Hood.
In Ghana. As we wrap this up, Lloyd, Ja Rule, one of our faves.
Where's Ja?
Ja.
I feel like the reason why no one has and giving him any credit is after his Fyre Festival fiasco, all his credibility in business is kind of out the window. There's a lot of questions to be asked. Who is giving Ja Rule $100 million? Who knows Ja Rule? How does Ja Rule even get in meetings where he's talking to people about this amount of money?
Yeah.
And then to be doing the thing that seems to be on the uprise, which is building a school in Africa, it just doesn't seem very legitimate.
The African one caught me off guard.
I don't know why he would be doing it at the crib. I don't know Ja Rule to be that financially viable in the States.
Humanitarian.
So for him to be doing philanthropic things in other places seems like a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But I'm open-minded. And if he says that he has resources for the crib, all for it because
I like that.
I want to be as positive as possible heading into 2024. Freddie, we promised that we're going to be better people. And that's how I'm being better.
Yes.
I hope it's true. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not.
Yeah.
Ja Rule, don't be playing around in the crib. I'm going to kick your butt.
Now, if he gets that done, that will be a story to tell. And whoever he's telling it to, it's going to say,
now mind you, it's real serious.